Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. I'm here to present our annual Cream of the Crop Sales Challenge. There's a chance to win a luxury whitewater rafting trip for two on the Colorado River. The idea is simple. The representative who sells the largest number of our brand's products between now and June the 1st will be awarded a five-day rafting trip. The runner-up wins a two-day trip. The results will be announced at the company picnic on July the 2nd. The challenge starts today, so if you like the idea of a spectacular adventure on the rapids of the Colorado River, get started straight away.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
I'm here to present our annual Cream of the Crop Sales Challenge. There's a chance to win a luxury whitewater rafting trip for two on the Colorado River. The idea is simple. The representative who sells the largest number of our brand's products between now and June the 1st will be awarded a five-day rafting trip. The runner-up wins a two-day trip. The results will be announced at the company picnic on July the 2nd. The challenge starts today, so if you like the idea of a spectacular adventure on the rapids of the Colorado River, get started straight away.
Two.
The conservation charity, the World Wildlife Fund, has issued a warning about the effects that climate change is having on the snow leopard in the Himalayas. The charity says that rising temperatures are shrinking the snow leopard's natural habitat to the point that they could die out. Much of the fauna the animals need to survive could soon disappear. But it isn't just the climate that is posing a serious threat to the future of the species. Snow leopards are highly sought after for their fur. What's more, as their natural prey is decreasing, there have been incidents of leopards venturing into areas inhabited by humans and attacking farm animals. As a result, leopards are also being killed by farmers trying to protect their livestock.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
The conservation charity, the World Wildlife Fund, has issued a warning about the effects that climate change is having on the snow leopard in the Himalayas. The charity says that rising temperatures are shrinking the snow leopard's natural habitat to the point that they could die out. Much of the fauna the animals need to survive could soon disappear. But it isn't just the climate that is posing a serious threat to the future of the species. Snow leopards are highly sought after for their fur. What's more, as their natural prey is decreasing, there have been incidents of leopards venturing into areas inhabited by humans and attacking farm animals. As a result, leopards are also being killed by farmers trying to protect their livestock.
Three.
Today in the studio, we have Mark, a successful owner of an antique shop. Mark, Is it easy to run a business nowadays?
Definitely not. I guess it would be a fair bet that about 50% of all startups fail within the first year.
Why is that?
Well, I think that only experts in a given field have any chance of making a profit. So before you start a company, you should have professional training in the business you plan to operate in.
And once someone has completed their training, what should they focus on?
They ought to do a lot of market research. I've read the latest data from the Chamber of Commerce, and I can see that just 10% of people do that before they open their own business. It seems to me that some of them think that if they are great bakers, they'll run a bakery successfully. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case.
Could you tell us something more about how you got started, Mark?
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Today in the studio, we have Mark, a successful owner of an antique shop. Mark, is it easy to run a business nowadays?
Definitely not. I guess it would be a fair bet that about 50% of all startups fail within the first year.
Why is that?
Well, I think that only experts in a given field have any chance of making a profit. So before you start a company, you should have professional training in the business you plan to operate in.
And once someone has completed their training, what should they focus on?
They ought to do a lot of market research. I've read the latest data from the Chamber of Commerce, and I can see that just 10% of people do that before they open their own business. It seems to me that some of them think that if they are great bakers, they'll run a bakery successfully. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case.
Could you tell us something more about how you got started, Mark?
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Everybody needs some kind of organisation in their lives. Making order should begin at home, in your immediate surroundings. You'll gain more room and stop stumbling over things. However, most people simply do not have enough energy or time to declutter and put off the decision to do it as long as possible. Does that sound like you? Don't lose hope. That's what we're for. Book a visit from our professional decluttering company and let us deal with your problem. No more walking past cupboards of useless stuff or opening drawers overflowing with bits you never have time to sort out.
Two.
I understood I had a clutter problem when I looked in a bag on the dining room sideboard in early December and found Christmas presents I'd received the previous year. Luckily, I stumbled upon the clutterdiet.com website. As a result, I spent all Sunday afternoon prioritizing tasks for the following days and preparing email reminders to do them. I also joined a discussion board on decluttering. When I saw comments from strangers willing to take their time to congratulate me on my progress, I felt really motivated.
Three.
Making mistakes while decluttering can put you off doing it. Here is how I avoid that. I walk around my house with a pen and a notepad and write down any items that I haven't used for a long time. I open cupboards, drawers, and wardrobes. Once I've made the list, I go through it and ask myself if I really need those items. Obviously, I think twice before I get rid of an item which was expensive. In that case, I put it on an internet auction. By clearing your space, you clear your mind. Surrounded by clutter, you are more anxious and likely to experience stress or frustration.
Four.
Do you need the help of an organizing professional? Check out how to harness chaos in your home. Here are some tips. Clean out first, then buy the boxes and baskets to store the stuff you want to keep. Once you've decided where something's going to go, take it there. It's advisable to clear out one room or space every day. This way you will avoid getting burnt out in the process. And a word of warning. Lots of people put things they don't need anymore in bags and decide to dispose of them later. Don't ever do that. If you keep the useless stuff at home, it might stay there for good.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
Everybody needs some kind of organization in their lives. Making order should begin at home, in your immediate surroundings. You'll gain more room and stop stumbling over things. However, most people simply do not have enough energy or time to declutter and put off the decision to do it as long as possible. Does that sound like you? Don't lose hope. That's what we're for. Book a visit from our professional decluttering company and let us deal with your problem. No more walking past cupboards of useless stuff or opening drawers overflowing with bits you never have time to sort out.
Two.
I understood I had a clutter problem when I looked in a bag on the dining room sideboard in early December and found Christmas presents I'd received the previous year. Luckily, I stumbled upon the clutterdiet.com website. As a result, I spent all Sunday afternoon prioritizing tasks for the following days and preparing email reminders to do them. I also joined a discussion board on decluttering. When I saw comments from strangers willing to take their time to congratulate me on my progress, I felt really motivated.
Three.
Making mistakes while decluttering can put you off doing it. Here is how I avoid that. I walk around my house with a pen and a notepad and write down any items that I haven't used for a long time. I open cupboards, drawers, and wardrobes. Once I've made the list, I go through it and ask myself if I really need those items. Obviously, I think twice before I get rid of an item which was expensive. In that case, I put it on an internet auction. By clearing your space, you clear your mind. Surrounded by clutter, you are more anxious and likely to experience stress or frustration.
Four.
Do you need the help of an organizing professional? Check out how to harness chaos in your home. Here are some tips. Clean out first, then buy the boxes and baskets to store the stuff you want to keep. Once you've decided where something's going to go, take it there. It's advisable to clear out one room or space every day. This way you will avoid getting burnt out in the process. And a word of warning. Lots of people put things they don't need anymore in bags and decide to dispose of them later. Don't ever do that. If you keep the useless stuff at home, it might stay there for good.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Trevor Bayliss, best known as the inventor of the wind-up radio, is with us today. Trevor, what gave you the idea for this radio?
I was watching a program about a disease in Africa which was killing many people. The only way they could get information about how to prevent it was through the radio. But in many remote parts of Africa, there was no electricity, and batteries were rare and horrendously expensive. I wanted to find an alternative solution. I thought of the old-fashioned gramophone which had a handle on it. You had to turn it to make the record go round and play. And I thought that the same idea could be used for a radio. You see, you just wind the thing up and when you release the spring, it drives a small dynamo, which in turn drives the radio.
Well, that sounds quite simple. So, why do so few of us become inventors?
In my opinion, anybody can be an inventor. Basically, we all have good ideas, which we do nothing about because they don't seem like inventions to us. Then, a few years later, we see a product based on the same concept in the shop window and wonder why we gave up on that idea in the first place. It's always disappointing, but it shows that your idea had much more potential than you thought.
I heard recently that science and engineering courses are becoming less popular. That must be bad news for would-be inventors.
I think it is. Young people need to get at least a glimpse of the basics of engineering. If the power goes off, they should know how to reset a circuit breaker. They ought to know how to do minor car repairs or bike maintenance work. They should learn how to cut a bit of wood with a saw and make items for the garden, like a planter box or a bench. We should provide them with sufficient hands-on experience, so if they buy a house in the future, they can do the necessary repairs.
Is information technology helpful for inventors in their work?
Undoubtedly. It makes preparing a prototype much easier. In my day, we only used handheld tools. Now you can produce a three-dimensional picture on a screen, which can then be converted into a real thing made of plastic or some alternative material. But that doesn't mean computers are the solution to every problem. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting the computer should be put in the bin. It's a wonderful piece of equipment. However, it's just a tool. If you lose that tool or it breaks down, what are you going to do? You've got to have a backup plan. You need to know where else you can look for the information that you need. Also, You ought to be able to do things by hand.
The statistics show that only 10% of all patents have been obtained by females. Why is this so?
We have to look at the problem in a broader historical context. There were periods when women's access to education and careers was limited. Also, society's expectations for them to be mothers and wives meant they were not encouraged to become inventors. And even if a woman invented something, it wasn't given as much recognition as things created by a man. Has anybody heard of Grace Hopper, who invented programming languages, or Mary Anderson, the inventor of windshield wipers?
Thankfully, a lot has changed in recent years.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Trevor Bayliss, best known as the inventor of the wind-up radio, is with us today. Trevor, what gave you the idea for this radio?
I was watching a program about a disease in Africa which was killing many people. The only way they could get information about how to prevent it was through the radio. But in many remote parts of Africa, there was no electricity. And batteries were rare and horrendously expensive. I wanted to find an alternative solution. I thought of the old-fashioned gramophone which had a handle on it. You had to turn it to make the record go round and play. And I thought that the same idea could be used for a radio. You see, you just wind the thing up and when you release the spring, it drives a small dynamo, which in turn drives the radio.
Well, that sounds quite simple. So, why do so few of us become inventors?
In my opinion, anybody can be an inventor. Basically, we all have good ideas, which we do nothing about because they don't seem like inventions to us. Then, a few years later, we see a product based on the same concept in the shop window and wonder why we gave up on that idea in the first place. It's always disappointing, but it shows that your idea had much more potential than you thought.
I heard recently that science and engineering courses are becoming less popular. That must be bad news for would-be inventors.
I think it is. Young people need to get at least a glimpse of the basics of engineering. If the power goes off, they should know how to reset a circuit breaker. They ought to know how to do minor car repairs or bike maintenance work. They should learn how to cut a bit of wood with a saw and make items for the garden, like a planter box or a bench. We should provide them with sufficient hands-on experience, so if they buy a house in the future, they can do the necessary repairs.
Is information technology helpful for inventors in their work?
Undoubtedly. It makes preparing a prototype much easier. In my day, we only used handheld tools. Now you can produce a three-dimensional picture on a screen, which can then be converted into a real thing made of plastic or some alternative material. But that doesn't mean computers are the solution to every problem. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting the computer should be put in the bin. It's a wonderful piece of equipment. However, it's just a tool. If you lose that tool or it breaks down, what are you going to do? You've got to have a backup plan. You need to know where else you can look for the information that you need. Also, you ought to be able to do things by hand.
The statistics show that only 10% of all patents have been obtained by females. Why is this so?
We have to look at the problem in a broader historical context. There were periods when women's access to education and careers was limited. Also, society's expectations for them to be mothers and wives meant they were not encouraged to become inventors. And even if a woman invented something, it wasn't given as much recognition as things created by a man. Has anybody heard of Grace Hopper, who invented programming languages, or Mary Anderson, the inventor of windshield wipers?
Thankfully, a lot has changed in recent years.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.